Everyone, Happy New Year. I'd like to welcome you to the January 6, 2017 meeting of the EMCC. And I'd like to call it to order and start with introductions, and we'll start at this end.
Good morning. I'm Jim Karras, representing the Animal Association of Orange County.
Good morning, everybody. This is Lindley Garcia, representing the Orange County Business Council.
Mike Ritter, representing the 5th District.
And again, Wolfgang Kanabe, representing Orange County Fire Chiefs Association.
Sam Stratton, the Orange County EMS Medical Director.
Tammy McConnell, Orange County EMS Administrator.
Jen Ha Park, representing the 2nd District.
Virgin Arbitas, CEO of La Palma Intercommunity Hospital and West Anaheim Medical Center. I'm representing Hospital Association of Southern California.
Therese Gutierrez, CHOC Emergency Department Manager, representing Orange Coast Emergency Nurses Association.
Great. Welcome, everyone. And at this point in our agenda, we're going to approve the minutes. If I could get a motion and a second.
So moved.
Second.
Perfect. Any comments or no? All right, then we'll approve those. Do you have one? No.
Pardon me?
Comments on the minutes? No.
No.
Okay, so those are approved. Next, we're going to go to the OCEMS report, correspondence, and medical director report. Dr. Stratton.
For the Orange County EMS report, a couple of just general things. One is that you can subscribe for any of the EMS announcements, updates, or bulletins. And that can be subscribed to through our website. And if you'll go to the Orange County EMS agency website, it has to be Orange County, California, because there are a couple of other Orange counties in the country. Anyway, on the left side of our website of the page, there's a button or a area where you can sign up and subscribe to EMS bulletins and reports. The other thing I think most everybody here is aware is that we have increased security in our building now. And if you do have a meeting, and we do have frequent meetings at our building, there is a security guard at the desk in front of the elevators, and you would need to sign in. And then it also would help if you have an individual meeting to arrange to have whoever you're meeting with, for example, if it's me, to meet you down in the lobby and help you escort you upstairs. And I think that security is for obvious reasons. If you haven't been to the building recently, you will be aware of it when you come. Another part of our report is the naloxone administration by law enforcement officers. That has gone off pilot because it has been found to be successful without complications. We've had a number of saves of those who have inadvertently suffered the toxicity, I guess, overdosed or otherwise, on opioids. So we are expanding that program, offering it voluntarily to any law enforcement department in Orange County. We have developed training internally, and it all meets state statutes and regulations and requirements. Currently, Orange County Sheriffs and the Fullerton Police Department are online and active with that program. And one other just quick announcement is our office will be closed on January 16th in observance of Martin Luther King Day. So we will be down that day. One other thing is a quick slideshow that I put together. We've in the past, and as fees were discussed, there was some criticism of basically my section of EMS for not distributing some of the information from the data that we gather on the stroke and cardiac system. And we actually do very robust data collection. And those reports are usually given to internal meetings, for example, Facilities Committee, and often at the CPAC meeting, but in particular at the Medical Advisory Committee meeting, we discuss the data in detail. The data also is presented publicly at the Orange County Stroke Society meeting and often to the stroke coordinators. But I realize we had not been presenting the data to a public forum such as EMCC. So I will, if I can get the slideshow up, go through some of. There, I got it. It's too complicated for me to figure out which button to push. Anyway, so what I'd like to do is just go through what we have for the Orange County Stroke Neurology System. Our program Orange County EMS, but researchers at UCI and the other stroke centers published our data in what's called a peer review journal in 2012, and right now this data is being prepared to publish again. It's in the journal called Stroke, which I realize is kind of strange, but anyway, there is a journal called Stroke, and it's the main one for stroke. So what I'd like to do with this presentation is just give an overview of the Orange County Stroke Neurology System, some of the basics in a slide, and then review really, more importantly, the system performance statistics that we have. So at the present time in Orange County, we have 24 acute care hospitals, or what we call emergency receiving centers, ERCs. 9 of those centers are designated as stroke neurology centers, stroke neurology receiving centers. And our jargon for that is that they're a SNRC. The 9 are listed on this slide. The system is a single-tiered, this is the Orange County system, is a single-tiered comprehensive center program. There are only a couple of other types of programs like this in the United States. This one is set up such that if you are having an acute stroke and you're transported by EMS, you will be going to the highest level of care that's available anywhere in the United States. Other systems, in Los Angeles is a good example, are 2 or 3-tiered systems. LA actually is developing a 3-tiered system where you have community hospitals that can accept strokes, what they call primary stroke centers that can give clot busting or TPA drug, but don't have any further advanced care and are not set up to handle strokes that are called hemorrhagic or where there's bleeding in the brain. And then comprehensive centers. So many centers are like Los Angeles or San Diego, others that have a tiered system where you may go to a center, and if they can't take care of you, then they transport you up to the higher level of care. Orange County, again, is a single-tiered system. Again, also unique in the United States. It's the largest one probably in the United States that's single-tiered, comprehensive. And if you're transported EMS, then you are going to a center that can do anything that's approved by FDA for treatment of stroke, as well as there are many experimental protocols in place. So our system, if you arrive at a stroke center, you'll get whatever a primary stroke center can do. You have available to you interventional radiology where they can use a device to take clots out of the arteries that may be in the clots that may be in arteries of the brain. We have advanced neurosurgery at every center that can handle all types of neurosurgical problems, very complex problems as well as the common ones. And we also emphasize stroke rehabilitation in our system and focused stroke care, nursing care, both in the emergency department and the rest of the hospital. And also more importantly is the system is all set up in a spoke and hub type of program where patients that are not transported by EMS that arrive at a non-stroke center can be immediately, without question, moved to a stroke center for advanced care if needed. I don't have it on a slide, but of the 9 stroke centers which are receiving the majority of stroke patients in the county, 81% of the time those cases are coming in by EMS, which is also different from, let's see if this will come up, is different from data from other areas. It's usually 50-50, 50% AMS, 50% EMS, 50% walk-in. Our system, because we have a broad umbrella for transport and probably a little bit more sophisticated population than many other areas, we have 81% are coming in by EMS at the present time. This map shows it's what's called a heat map, and we generate it from our data in our system. Excuse me. And if you look at this spot here, this is the hottest spot in Orange County. The yellow would be hot. Red is large numbers of strokes. Blue are strokes that are occurring in significant numbers. And then if you get down in this area here, we don't have a lot of strokes that are occurring that are entered into our database. So we map using GIS where strokes occur in the county. And just a side note, we can map the same thing with other situations. We recently, with the trauma committee, and went through in-depth analysis of pediatric trauma, and were able to generate a similar map for pediatrics. So we do GIS mapping, and that helps us determine where the resources need to be. And looking at our system, the map doesn't come up, but oh, there it is. If you look at our system, those that are stars are stroke centers. So if you overlaid this on top of our heat map, it would show that we have a good distribution of hospitals that are stroke centers relative to the areas of the county where the population is suffering strokes the most. So this is just an example of the type of system planning that we're working with on this all the time. So the stroke system is a highly integrated system that is overlaid over 3.1 million people to provide stroke care as quick as possible. And as with cardiac problems, stroke care is very time dependent with regard to success and recovery of function. This just quickly gives a distribution categorization of the types of strokes we're seeing. Again, this is 2016 data, and we have about a 3-month lag where we collect data. So we don't have all the 2016 data, but we can already say that this is probably the majority of the data we're going to have. It's likely we'll have around 1,900 total cases, and these numbers may change a little bit. But consistent with national data, most of our strokes are ischemic or a blood clot that forms in one of the arteries of the brain. We do have a little bit higher average, if you will, or percentage of hemorrhagic strokes in Orange County compared to other regions of the country. A hemorrhagic stroke is one where a blood vessel ruptures and bleeds into the brain. We have the usual average for transient ischemic attacks. Those are like warning strokes, if you will. The average nationally is 7%, so we're in that range. And then we have a percentage of what are called others, or the jargon used in the stroke sort of area is stroke mimic. And these are often bizarre seizures, migraine headaches that are causing stroke-like symptoms, but that resolve or clear up. And other things such as previously undiagnosed brain tumors or metastases of tumors to the brain and those types of things. And interestingly, in our analysis, as we've gone over this with the stroke neurologist and neurosurgeons. Most of these other cases actually benefit better, if you will, by going to a hospital that has all this neurological expertise available. So what's our performance? Well, for years we've measured performance by process, and process-wise we far exceed national performance standards for processes. This just gives a breakdown of what we're doing. IVTPA is intravenous a intravenous thrombolytic agent that dissolves clots in the brain. Mechanical is when we actually have a catheter inserted into a artery and then introduced to the artery in the brain that's being blocked by a clot, and then that clot removed mechanically. IATPA is when a catheter is placed into an artery in the brain that's blocked and into that artery, and then the drug that dissolves the clot directly dripped into that artery. So this gives a breakdown of the types of things that we're doing. And our total intervention rate, if you look at all of our strokes, and many of these don't meet criteria for intervention for one reason or another. For example, they may be on Coumadin or an anticoagulant, a blood thinner, that makes them ineligible usually for this type of treatment because the complication rate would be too high to do an aggressive treatment. But anyway, our intervention rate is 33% countywide. We have some hospitals that are intervening 50% of the time. So we have some high performers and lower performers, and some of that is predicted by the population that presents to that hospital. National intervention rate at best is 11 to 12% in large systems or large counties or populations like we have. And our neuro intervention rate, which is that mechanical, where where a catheter is placed, is 10.8%, which is well above the average in the country right now, which is around 3%. If you look at a total stroke population, so. What we've done in our system is begun to measure what the outcome is. You can have lots of good process data, but your process is, if you're real aggressive, you may have more complications than you should, or you would if you weren't so aggressive, and you could actually have worse outcomes. The other thing is mortality is what we call a very crude measure. It doesn't really tell us a whole lot because what we're really interested in is disability after an event, a stroke event in particular. So our mortality rate is 7%. I don't have that on a slide. But that mortality rate actually matches the general mortality for stroke throughout the U.S. But looking at looking at how to measure the outcome, we use what's called the National Institutes of Health Stroke Scale, the NIH Stroke Scale. And this is a scale of 11 points looking at whether somebody's got weakness of grip, whether they have a facial droop, whether their speech is slurred and things like that. And we're able to do measures that are scientifically valid. Anybody doing this that's entering the data in our database has to be certified as someone who can do this scoring. So we use the NIH stroke scale right now in our system to assess outcome measure. And this gives you the outcomes for all of our cases. Realize only 33% actually get aggressive intervention. But one thing about our system, as I said, we also emphasize rehabilitation and nursing. And nursing and stroke is incredibly important. Just to give you an example, if a person with a stroke comes into an emergency department, the nurses in our system do what's called a swallow study to make sure that individual won't choke on anything that they're given orally, like even water or their own saliva. And it's a very, it's a very obvious thing, but not something commonly done unless you're very well trained in stroke. And if someone fails a swallow test or a swallow challenge, Their nurse knows immediately to put them on what's called NPO, nothing by mouth, to protect them from having material enter into the lungs if they try and swallow and causing pneumonia. And this is something that's done immediately as stroke patients arrive into an emergency room of one of our stroke centers, as well as aggressive rehabilitation that starts even sometimes in the emergency department. So we do intervene in a third of these patients. The rest of them all receive the highest level of supportive care possible. And if you look at our statistics, the median NIH stroke scale that comes into our stroke centers is a level 5. The levels are from 0 to 44, so a 5 is not a high level. This is usually somebody that can still function, but realize they're having an acute stroke and it can get a lot worse. And we're able to show that it drops by the time they're discharged, the median drops to 3. The quartiles, this is what are called measures of precision, and it's statistical mumbo jumbo that if somebody wants to discuss, I'd be happy to hang around and talk about it later. Technically, when you're using the scoring system that's called the NIH stroke scale, you're supposed to use medians rather than averages. But many people argue that average is just as good. So our average stroke severity, if you will, is a 9, which is about getting up the scale some. And when they're discharged, they average out at 6.7. So this is important because we can show, particularly if you look at averages, which statistically may be pushing it a bit, and definitely if you look at medians, we can show that there is a definite trend towards improvement for all strokes that present to our stroke centers, any of our 9 stroke centers. And actually, the averages show that it's statistically significant improvement. And that's important because, realize I said we're being very aggressive in this system with treatment. So if you look at this data, you can draw the conclusion that our aggressive treatment is not causing lots of complications that are causing problems. For example, unexpected bleeding into the brain or damage to the brain by putting this catheter up and things like that. If that were occurring, we'd either have no improvement or worsening improvement. And then I'm sure most of you are getting kind of burned out on statistics and you didn't show up this morning for anyway, talking statistics at 9:20 in the morning is probably a criminal act. But one last statistic slide. If we look at our really severe strokes, if you have a stroke with an NIH stroke scale of 12 to 13, if that's what you're going to end up with, you generally need at least day care, and you're often not ambulatory. You're unable to do your daily function. You may have to wear permanent diapers, be in a wheelchair. You're not able to safely prepare food, and so your quality of daily life is definitely affected. So taking out all of those that present with a stroke scale of 13 and above, and looking at our statistics, we actually are able to show, if you look either at median or actually, that should be the average. It should be mean, so I have a typo in there. Sorry about that. If you look at the median or the mean, we can show that you have a statistically, we can statistically prove that you do improve within our stroke system, that you actually have you come out with a much better score than you went in with. And realize this is aggregate data, so many of these are coming out, 13s and 14s are coming out with levels at 7, 8, 9, where they are able to function, maybe not drive a car or whatever. So with that, I will close and turn it back over to the chair.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Stratton. Any comments from the board?
Why in Buena Park was so intense?
There's a number of reasons. We have not done a, if you will, an epidemiologic analysis, a population analysis. But in that Buena Park, Cypress Garden Grove, Westminster area, we know, and this is not, it's difficult to say in public, but we know that there are some individuals who have ethnic backgrounds that genetically predispose them to stroke. And part of our stroke system is in identifying that is to have outreach programs for those individuals. And we've really worked like particularly when Senator Wynn was in on our board of supervisors and all, we worked with her and got outreach programs going and all. And that is somewhat, I would say that is some of the reason that our EMS, that people are coming in by EMS more now than by a private auto, and they're also coming in quicker. So another part of the system or program I didn't really emphasize is we have a real emphasis on prevention, and that's really relative and required of each of those 9 stroke centers. The other thing that would lead to that higher areas on those heat maps are more aged populations in those areas.
Great. Any other comments or questions from the committee? Yeah. Mine only is maybe we come up with another snark. I don't know.
Yeah, we usually don't say that in front of the Board of Supervisors.
Okay, at this time, a hospital diversion report. Would that be Tammy? Or?
It's the diversion report is in the packet, broken down. We have some pretty high diversion rates, but not remarkably higher than in past years. excuse me. I think the main comment right now is we are quite aware that we are in a real high volume time today. The last few days we've had up to 12 of our 24 hospitals that are diverting, and in other words, closed to traffic because they're being overwhelmed. And we're also aware from meetings that we're having this week that what's called wall time for ALS and BLS units is going up. So that's being monitored. It's also relative to part of it's the time of year. The CDPH has put out an announcement to the health officers throughout the state that influenza is starting to peak. So we're looking at a uptick in influenza and viral illnesses. So we are aware right now that we're under stress. That should be seasonal, and hopefully enough people got flu shots that it'll temporize what goes on. But otherwise, the diversion report is there for observation. It's particularly, I think, helpful for some facilities to look at their performance relative to others. But overall, for the whole system, it's equivalent to what was going on last year. We expect it to peak out again in the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Hmm. Great. And how about the emergency ambulance transportation contract performance? Is that just for information? Okay. And then the OC meds report?
I'll go ahead with that. Good morning, everyone. As you're aware from my previous reports, California law now mandates that all EMS providers are both public and private emergency and non-emergency must utilize an electronic patient care report that is certified compliant with the National EMS Information System, and that the deadline for this was January 1st of 2017. I'm pleased to report that we have met the deadline and are receiving live data from nearly 100% of our EMS providers for both emergency and non-emergency responses. And I'd like to share with you a report to demonstrate the progress that has been made. So if I could direct your attention to attachment 5 of your agenda packet, I'd just like to go through this with you briefly. In the first report titled NEMSIS 3.4 Compliance by Agency, you can see that we are now receiving data from nearly every EMS provider throughout the county as evident by those agencies that are marked in green. Those agencies that are marked in yellow or white are actively working to become fully compliant, and we expect them to be so very soon. Those agencies that are marked in red are private EMS providers who did not meet the submission requirements by the deadline, which resulted in denial of their license to operate in Orange County. If you want to flip to pages 2 through 6, there's a number of line graphs and bar graphs there, which demonstrate gradual progress throughout calendar year 2016 as all EMS providers work to implement these systems. By the last day of the year, when we were at nearly 100% implementation, the OC Med system, or the Orange County Medical Emergency Data System, was receiving an average of 1,500 new incidents per day, which is equivalent to nearly a little over 500,000 new incidents per year. So it's much larger than where we were at before. The pie chart on page 7, a little bit further in your report, a little colorful graph there, provides a snapshot of the software vendors who are participating in the system and their level of involvement. So currently we have a total of 9 different software vendors that are submitting data live into the system. That just is a testament to the complexity to make the system live and compliant to meet the statewide requirements. The maps on page 8 through 11, and this is another example of our GIS mapping capability. These are progressive maps to show on a quarter-by-quarter basis the progress that was made towards implementing the system. You can see the areas in the county in which the new system was being utilized, beginning with the first 3 months of the year and ending with the last 3 months of the year, in which we had nearly 100% implementation by all of our providers. I think it's important to note here the significance of this achievement. This is truly the first time that OCMS has had this level of data compliance in our history. We are the first county in the state to successfully implement a NEMSIS 3.4 compliance system with 100% or almost nearly 100% compliance by all of our EMS stakeholders. So I'd like to take a moment just to thank all of those individuals who took part in making this possible. This is a project that I've been working on for a long time. However, it wouldn't have happened had it not been for all of the EMS providers participating, and everywhere from EMS managers with individual agencies to the EMTs and paramedics who underwent training to make this significant change. So once again, I'd just like to thank everyone that and the progress that has been made. And I'd like to take any questions if you have them.
Any questions from the committee?
Through the chair. Yes, going back to page 2, the list of providers that are now compliant or those that were not, the 5 non-emergency or private EMS providers that did not achieve compliance are no longer operating in Orange County as of the 31st, but my understanding is at least one or possibly a couple of them may still have an opportunity or may have since become compliant after the 1st and then subsequently were issued a license. Can you comment if that's correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So at some point will the agency publish an updated list just so the system is aware of which providers are authorized to be accessed and which, you know, because there is some confusion. I know over the weekend our company was receiving requests because they were concerned that their provider that they had used was no longer able to serve them. So maybe an update on the website of just a current running list.
Absolutely.
Would be helpful.
Absolutely. It's important to note here that this list was updated on January 3rd.
Yes.
And we update this as frequently as we can.
Oh, I realize that. And I know it's a moving situation. To the extent the agency is able to update that would be helpful, I believe, for the system.
Certainly.
Thank you. I guess that I would just like to comment, congratulations to you personally and to the agency for being in the forefront of this. I know this is something that you've been passionate about and started in another area and brought this to Orange County, you really do deserve public praise, and I think we all can be proud of our system going forward. It really is truly a pinnacle for others to follow. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, point well taken. Great job. I know it's like herding cats trying to get all that stuff together, so I appreciate it.
Sure thing. Thank you.
Any other comments from the committee? No? All right. EMCC correspondents, Dr. Stratton, or Tammy, any comments?
Yeah, attachment 4 contains EMC's correspondence. Mr. Wontrowski's got two letters in here, and he's in the audience, and I don't know if he's going to speak to that later. Anyway, if there are any questions, he would be available, I'm sure, at the end of the meeting. The others are routine correspondence from the EMS agency. They're just there for reference. So that's all we have.
Great. And then I think we'll wait for public comments on that or in our agenda or is that right?
Have you put in a public comment?
Okay. We'll wait for that then. Next is EMCC Advisory Subcommittee and group reports. Facilities, Dr. Stratton?
Facilities meets next week. CPAC meets next week. Education and training met this week, and we discussed at length the proposed state changes in the EMT regs and how those will be affecting not just our system but the state in general. The EMT regs are expanding the scope, if you will, or what a EMT can do. And in doing that, it adds 16 more hours of training to their up to a total now of 170 hours. We talked about how that can be affected with minimal input or minimal impact on the system. And that pretty much was the majority of that discussion. We also discussed reorganizing the committee. And we'll be bringing back a recommendation from an ad hoc committee that's being formed from that committee with regard to revising membership, which hasn't been changed or revised since 2005. So that'll come back to this committee maybe at the next meeting or the following meeting.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Stratton. Transportation Advisory?
Yes, we did have a meeting of Transpo since the last time EMCC met. We met last October 26th, and during that meeting, the EMS agency provided its report similar to what is presented here at the EMCC. We were given an overview on the licensing and vehicle permitting process for 2017, and as you can see by the report of the data, we're in good shape for resource availability here in Orange County. We talked a little bit about transfer of patient belongings, and there's going to be some more discussion on that, on how we affect the documentation and facilitate transfer of patient belongings. And our next meeting is scheduled for January 25th at 9 a.m. Thank you.
Great. Any questions at all from the committee on any of these?
Yeah, I have one.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, Sam, just a quick question on the expansion of the EMT duties. What are some examples of things that they'll be doing that they're not currently doing?
One would be giving Narcan or Naloxone. That would now enter into the basic scope. And another would be actually doing blood glucose tests and interpreting those. That, you know, despite the fact that diabetics all over the country do it themselves, is now being entered in. And the use of adrenaline or epinephrine pens to reverse severe allergic reactions or anaphylaxis. Those are all being entered into the basic scope. It affects us in Orange County less than most other counties because we already had expanded our scope as far as we could legally do it back in 2011.
Next, we move to unfinished business, informational items only, data system compliance. Tammy?
That was contained in Laurent's OCMED's report.
Okay, perfect. And next we'll go, we're going to have, this is an action item, which is the EMS fee study. And that would be Tammy.
Yes. So this is an unfinished business item from our last EMCC meeting. The recommended action is a letter to the Board of Supervisors from this committee supporting the EMS provider fees. If you turn to attachment 6 in your packet, this is the list of current and proposed EMS fees that we'll be taking to the board on January 24th. We'll backtrack a little bit. This was discussed at our last EMCC meeting. We presented the background, the methodology, and a table of the fees. EMCC did support the study and recommended adoption of 5 of the fees, which were the ambulance company license, the ambulance company unit inspection reinspection, ambulance driver attendant license, and the EMT lost card replacement. As to those fees that the EMCC could not support, this committee recommended that EMS continue its discussions with the stakeholders. And over the last 2 months, we've followed through with that recommendation and continued our dialogue with specifically the Ambulance Association and have reached out to Hospital Association. At this time, we're pleased to report back that we've reached an agreement with the Ambulance Association, and inside your packet is also a support letter from the Ambulance Association to support the EMS provider fees as they are on this table with the following modifications. We're going to be waiving the ambulance driver attendant license fee, which is listed at $82, if the EMT is certified in Orange County. The Orange County EMT certification fee will be $120 every 2 years, and then EMTs who are certified outside of Orange County but are working as ambulance drivers in Orange County will continue to pay the ambulance driver fee. So we also, late December, sent out an additional notice of this meeting, opportunities for public comment, and then the January 24th board meeting. We've not received further comment, and the Hospital Association continues in its non-support for the additional designation fees. I do want to add on and just say that as you've heard through Dr. Stratton's presentation of just the stroke system, Orange County designated specialty centers have been shown by research to improve clinical outcomes and community health and well-being by decreasing death and morbidity for trauma, stroke, cardiac, and children with serious emergencies. The process of designating specialty centers ensures that hospitals have the specialized equipment and the clinical personnel to receive these patients. Without these designation fees, and in light of the newly proposed regulations for cardiac and stroke, EMS will have to adjust how specialty designations are authorized. I don't know if you have any more to add about that, but.
Yeah, so it would not be the intent of Orange County EMS to discontinue or dissolve or anything such as that, any of these programs, these three, the four programs which are actually bolded at the bottom of the list of fees. We will do everything that we can within our resources to keep those programs going. It certainly would be difficult to expand the programs without support and staff and resources to do that. The other thing I think that's important, and so this is a little bit tangential to what I was just saying, is that the state mandates that we certify EMTs, so we have to certify EMTs because that's in state law. The state does not require that Orange County have stroke centers or cardiac centers or even trauma centers in pediatric centers. Those are optional for a local jurisdiction to, if you will, implement. If they are implemented, though, they have to follow state law or state regulations for that specific type of regional type of specialty. So we have to do everything above the bold but the bold below, the ones that are in bold, the four in bold, are optional items. We don't intend at this point to dissolve or discontinue any of those programs. They likely would be limited to what we can do within the capacity of the Orange County EMS within the healthcare agency.
Thank you, Dr. Strachan. Also, it should note that the looks like a hospital association letter in here of not supporting. Is that correct?
That's correct. Okay. And then I think my reply is in the packet also. I don't know if that's
okay. And then because this is an action item to recommend to the Board of Supervisors support, I think it's appropriate to, if there are any anybody like to comment on this prior to us taking action on it. Pardon me? For the audience, and we'll bring it back to the committee. Okay, and then now the committee. Yes.
Thank you. If I may, just add a few more comments to the letter that's already on record here. The Hospital Association member hospitals still remain opposed to these designation fees, these additional fees, for two reasons. Basically, we believe that there's duplicative costs that are already involved in the survey process. And secondly, that the hospitals already provide a huge subsidy to the healthcare agency. As you already know, the hospital industry is probably the most regulated industry out there. We have so many entities that survey the hospitals constantly on a regular basis. So we believe that many of the items that the EMS staff is going to be surveying is already being done by some of these entities. So we believe that EMS staff should work together with our staff to see where there's duplication and how we can streamline that, because then in that instance we can lower the costs for everybody, for the healthcare agency and the community. And as far as the subsidy comes from the six base stations that the hospitals provide. We have six hospitals that provide base stations for the county. These are not stations that are required by the hospitals to do. These are things that we voluntarily have done. We have put in, there's numerous man hours that are go in there, and you can see from the policies of the EMS of what's required in a base station. 24/7 nursing coverage, administrative staff, physicians. We estimate for each base station it costs us approximately $250,000 to operate. So that's $1.5 million of subsidy that the hospitals are providing to the county and the healthcare agency. To ask us to have additional fees added on top of that hurts the hospitals, and it just adds costs to everybody. So we're asking at this point that you don't set these fees in motion in perpetuity without further analysis. So today I ask that the committee not increase these fees to the hospitals.
Thank you. Did you have a comment also? Or? Okay.
I'd like to echo those same sentiments, and would like to see us work with the accrediting agencies to try and determine is there overlap and things that we could do, and also for us to work with the hospital association, and we may be able to come to some halfway point after we look at that. The trauma fees are essentially the same, and those are very, very intensive, the survey process for both the EMS agency and for the American College of Surgeons that come out in the individual hospitals. But some of the other ones, like stroke, for example, the Joint Commission does stroke certification for hospitals, and so there may be some overlap. There may be some unique areas that don't take into account with the Joint Commission, but I agree with you that I would like to see a little bit further analysis of this before we approve these fees.
Thank you, Doctor. Hey, Tammy, last time where it was directed to go back and meet with some of the stakeholders, I'm understanding that was done. Is that correct?
Correct. Or? And I want to address the notion of duplicity, because that has been evaluated by our office. We've worked closely with one of the stroke centers to look at exactly what the accreditation requirements were and compared them with the Orange County EMS designation criteria. And there is duplication, but what I think of most importance is the Joint Commission or the HFAB accrediting bodies don't address the pre-hospital data, the pre-hospital education, and a lot of the emergency department processes that we're watching on a daily basis. So there are quite a bit of things that are not duplicative between the two processes. And we can, you know, certainly continue to look at that and bring it back. But I just want to, you know, make it clear that we have evaluated that. And specifically with the stroke centers, who are the clinicians that are actually going through the accreditation process. So at this time, what we're asking is for endorsement by EMCC of these fees and for you to vote on that.
One more thing to add, but if we increase these fees now, there's not going to be any incentive for us to get together and try to reduce this. It'll be over. So that's why we're saying at this point, do not approve the fees. Allow us to go in and find ways to streamline it.
Are there any fees here? Like you say, there's not duplicate fees, or that you've gone through many and there are with this list like we've done before, where we've approved a certain portion of them last time. And then we wanted to meet and discuss, or the stakeholders needed to meet and discuss. Are there any that the hospital association or said, hey, yeah, there's not an issue with these kind of fees and approve them? Or it seems like we're so far apart.
I think that takes time. It takes time for us to meet and review line by line, look at areas of where there is duplicity.
Dr. Stratton?
I think that there's a little bit of bait and switch going on here. To be accredited as a stroke center or a cardiac center in Orange County does not require Joint Commission or HFAB. Those are accreditations that are, for whatever reason, selected to be voluntarily sought by a hospital, but we don't even have access to the criteria that the Joint Commission uses to accredit a hospital. So we don't even know what they're asking or doing. The other thing is that there is no fee for base hospitals on this list. So bringing that up is a whole different issue that should be discussed. Maybe we should reevaluate whether we need base hospitals or we certainly could evaluate whether we need as many as we have. So I would like to point out and put on the record that I do believe that there is some deflecting in a way from the primary issue here, which are the four fees that are on the list. We do not require Joint Commission or HFAB or anybody else to accredit a stroke or cardiac center or a pediatric center. We do that with trauma, but that's a state standard. And base hospitals are not the issue right now. We do acknowledge, as I state in my letter, that there is a incredible contribution by those six hospitals, not all 24 or all nine of the stroke or 14 of the cardiac centers, only six, are contributing heavily to the system. And that issue, we're more than happy to address and adjust that if necessary.
Through the chair.
Yes.
Just to comment on the ambulance portion of this, there may be some opportunity here to at least have committee support for approval of the ambulance fees that the Ambulance Association has come into support of. I would like to take this opportunity to amplify on the letter. Thank you so much to the staff for meeting with us, hearing the concerns of the association, and returning with some solutions that addressed our concerns. We very much appreciate that. As the letter does indicate, although these costs in many cases are to the individual provider, the individual companies do reimburse in most cases, and therefore the association does still request that this increase of costs be reflected in the future rate increase coming up, and we're hoping that we can have that discussion. But for purposes today, I would like to suggest that maybe we at least have some committee support on the items that we can agree to support with perhaps a split like we did last time. And so if there's support for that, I'm happy to be a part of that motion, either in the maker or as a second.
Okay. Thank you for that. And then it seems to me, unless I'm reading this wrong, Tammy, there are 1, 2, 3, 4 items that the Hospital Association does not agree with.
Correct.
Is that correct? Everything else, everything else, everybody's good with. Is that right?
That's my understanding.
Okay. Now, the four items for the hospitals, the Hospital Association have any idea what that – I'm looking at the increases on some of these things. One of them is $300 over 3 years. It doesn't seem like a lot of money on these increases, but, again, I haven't – figured it out for the Hospital Association. Have they figured out what's going to do to the budgets?
Yes.
They seem nominal when you take it over 3 years, unless I'm reading it wrong.
No, these are additional fees.
Currently, there's no fees. So if you look at a stroke center designation,
yeah, they would be new fees.
Okay, so these
it's going from zero to nine
to 9 grand. Yeah. Okay. So. To your point, would you we could at least get most of it approved, then we can finish discussing these four?
Or just include it. I think it'd be better to include it in one motion that simply say that the committee supports the ambulance fees, supports the reoccurring hospital fees, but does not support the new fees proposed, the four new fees.
All right.
So that would be a motion.
That would be your motion then?
Yeah.
Is there a second on that?
Mr. Chairman, is it possible to bifurcate the vote so we can vote on two separate industries, because the ambulance industry and the hospital industry are two separate industries? So,
well, what you could do is propose an alternate motion.
Okay.
And then which is what?
To vote separately on the fees.
Okay, so.
So take the fees out.
I'll withdraw my motion.
So what you're saying is approve everything except those four in bold here.
Correct.
That's what Jim's motion was.
Okay. Is there a second for that?
Second.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion on that? No? Okay. So we will need to vote then. All those in favor of that motion, I think we'll just do a count.
Aye.
Aye. No for me.
I abstain.
Abstain. Yes. Okay. It looks like we have it passed with those four not being approved.
With the motion maker abstaining?
No.
Pardon me?
So I'm sorry. To correct. So we're voting not to approve the. I thought that we were doing two separate.
No, we're doing. I think your motion was the same as his, basically. So what I have is everybody voted yes except me.
I withdrew my motion, so I don't know who the motion maker is. We might want to clear this up.
He made the motion to approve everything except the four bolded items.
Right. Okay.
And
is he now voting on it, or is he abstaining?
I didn't hear you abstain. I'm sorry. I thought you voted yes.
I'm voting not to approve the fees for the hospital association.
Right. So
you may want to restate.
Let me redo this, Desk. Can you make your motion again? We have to take action on this. So
right.
What is your action? What is your proposed action?
Proposed action is to vote to not increase the fees for the hospital association.
Okay. So what you're saying is, in here, the bolded items, the four that have to do with the hospital association, you don't want to approve those, correct?
Correct. I don't want those to be approved.
But everything else can be.
Correct.
Okay. So your motion is everything's approved except the four bolded items.
Correct.
Mr. Chair, I think it was a motion to bifurcate and separate the votes out. EMT versus hospital and do a hospital in a separate motion. It was my understanding.
Okay.
That's what I was hoping we would be.
All right. My apologies. I thought
so there wouldn't be any confusion.
Okay. So we can bifurcate that then. So let's do this. Other than the hospital administration items, the four bolded in your report, do I have a motion to approve those?
Wait, say that again? I'm sorry.
Pardon me?
Say that again, please.
Other than, so we're going to approve all the fees except those having to do with the hospital association, then we'll take that as a separate vote. Right, so the EMT, the non-hospital association fees.
I so move. Oh. Mm-hmm. I move that we move to approve the EMT fees except for the hospital-based fees.
I have a second.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. That goes unanimous. Now let's go to the hospital association fees. So do I have a motion to approve those? Because we're taking these separately.
I'll move that we approve the hospital fees with the exception of the emergency receiving center designation, pediatric receiving center designation, cardiac receiving center designation, and stroke neuro receiving center designation. All other fees would be approved related to hospital.
Do I have a second?
I'm still confused.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor? All right. Those opposed? Okay, you second and you opposed it?
No, I'm sorry.
Question.
I'm confused.
Yeah.
I'm confused. With
the motion was to approve those.
Do you want me to restate the motion?
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm moving that we approve the mobile intensive care nurse application, trauma receiving center,
all of them
except for the emergency receiving center, pediatric receiving center, cardiac receiving center, and stroke neuro. We are not supporting those fee increases. The others we are supporting.
And those are the bolded items that we're not approving, correct?
Right.
So we're not approving those fees.
We're not approving those fees, but the others we are.
Okay, that's what we're voting on.
Yes.
Okay, very good.
Is that good? All right, so moved.
Okay, so we'll retake that vote. So everybody clear on the vote? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, opposed? All right, that passes unanimously. So just to summarize then, the only ones that were not approved at this point that we're going to have to address here in just a second are the emergency receiving center, the pediatric receiving center, cardiac receiving center, and the stroke receiving center. Those are the only fees that have not been approved by this body. Correct? Okay. Now, speaking to those four, what is the direction to the committee would like to do is meet again with the representatives from the LEMSA to try to discuss those and come to an agreement, or?
I just think at this point we have to make a decision on these at this time, because it's just going to keep coming back to this committee. So it takes time to go and meet. So.
Right. What I'm hearing, though, is these fees here obviously are put into place for a reason, because the EMS figures that they need to do that to make everything run, correct, Dr. Stratton?
Correct.
So we have to, and we can't just say,
no.
You know, yep. Don't look at them. There
well,
has to.
We can. The committee can vote, no, we're not approving it.
And absolutely.
That's the recommendation back to the Board of Supervisors. If they choose to raise the fees independently on their own, that's their doing.
Okay, but I thought I heard over here from you that it needs to be discussed and looked into more.
Not at this point. I mean, at this point, we've already had discussions with the EMS staff. At this point, we have to make a decision on these fees.
Yes.
Just for clarity, but I was understanding that you thought that there was duplicate fees, that there was some data missing to make those decisions and ensure that there was no duplication. Has that already been done?
No.
So maybe that's what needs to be done before it completely is disregarded to ensure, and if you still can't come to a resolution then oppose it.
Any other comments in that regard?
Well, I just would like to echo that to the extent the communication between the hospital association and the EMS agency can continue to come to some middle ground, that would be a good thing for the committee to encourage. In the meantime, the agency can determine whether it will move forward to the board, as was stated. Taking our recommendation into consideration and then making a final determination.
Okay, and we're already recommending to the board everything but these four items. So is your motion now is have the LEMSA talk with the hospital association on these four items?
I don't know that we'd get support for that. I'm happy to make that motion. I'm just, for the record, I'm encouraging that the agency and the hospital association continue dialogue on this item. I don't know that we have to have a motion, but if there's I'm happy to make that motion if there's any support on the committee.
And I think the comment over here was that it'd be good for them to. I would second that motion to have EMSA possibility of some sort of fees to help these programs along.
Yeah.
Because I think just dropping it is, we have great programs here. They have to be funded somehow. So
agreed. So I'm happy to make that motion and see where it goes. Sure.
Okay. Yeah. So the motion would be to on these four items.
Yeah. To continue dialogue between the association
and then bring them back to this
agency,
committee.
And then bring it back at our next meeting.
Do I have a second for that? You second that. Okay, I have a motion and a second. We'll take a vote. All those in favor? Aye. Opposed?
I'm opposed at this point because it's just going to take more time to do this.
Okay. So we have opposition? No?
No.
Okay, so we have one opposed, so the passes, and the motion is we're going to have EMSA meet with the AMS Association again, find out. Hospital Association, find out any duplicate efforts, and then also come up with something that we could possibly recommend as a EMCC to go to the county. All right? Great. Whew.
We'll draft that letter for your signature in a couple of days.
Okay. Thought that data was hard, herding cats, huh? All right. So next we're going to go to, we did the new business with the stroke program. Pardon me? Did you have anything else?
I'm sorry, I didn't realize it was on the agenda.
That's all right. So we have that taken care of. And then action item we have is the nominating committee for EMCC for calendar year 2017.
Yeah, I actually have to, by bylaws, organize that. So I usually ask for three volunteers. And if three of the members of the EMCC could volunteer, I can get your numbers and we can do it by telephone.
I'm happy to if you want me to.
Okay. I have two. I'll volunteer if there's nobody else. But you'll volunteer? Okay, so we have three volunteers then. Did you get them done?
Okay.
Okay. And then we have a. Okay. Thank you. Thank the volunteers for that. And Dr. Stratton will be getting in contact with you. And next we go to comments, member comments before we go to public forum. Are there any comments that any of the committee members would like to make at this time? Nope. Seeing none, let's move into public forum. Any members of the public that would like to comment at this time?
We have one, Stephen Wontropsky.
Okay.
That is weird.
Can I just ask a question while we're waiting? Have you heard any updates with respect to San Clemente Hospital, if there's going to be anything that will ever happen with that since our last meeting?
We have not heard anything. Thanks.
Well,
his letters are in the packet, so I'll contact him and make sure everything's okay.
Hope he's okay.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I'll try and find out.
All of his belongings are here. His stuff's still here?
Yeah.
Well, we can't really hold up the committee meeting.
Did he list an item issue that he wanted to?
It has to do with the correspondence in here.
I can check the rest of it for you.
Perfect, thank you.
I did check, but why don't you go?
Oh, okay.
Exactly. Get in trouble.
Well, we did start a new program that's buried in the correspondence, but we now have a program where the nurses that are working with fire departments are able to do what's called rehab on the scene. So they can check oxygen levels and stress levels of firefighters, and we'll likely be able to expand this eventually to even victims of smoke inhalation so that they can stabilize them and all. And it's the first one in the state.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Trent, for bringing that up. Our EMS manager, Rhonda, she's one of those, and it's a great program, and I thank the LEMS and everyone for bringing that forward and helping us with it. That's going to be awesome. Okay, public comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Stephen Wontropsky, Mission Viejo. I'm the author of the two letters there. The first one is just a housekeeping recommendation. Can you please ensure for the public, all right, now other members of the audience here, the attachments for the current meeting are actually downloadable on the site. I can't download them, all right? And for my own personal purposes, I'll show you the impact. Okay, for attachment number 3, I want to be advised of all the penalties and failures that ambulance companies are actually incurring out there, and that report will give that to me. Attachment number 4, I send in letters to the EMCC. I don't know, until I get into this meeting, even in the meeting, what letters are going to be in the attachment? Were they received or things like that? Will the members see it? Then I go to attachment number 6. Now, I'm aware of all those EMS fees. But what I didn't know was that did somebody load on the bottom of that fee schedule the rebates? ALS, BLS rebates, you know, that go back to the fire departments. I have no way of knowing if I'm supposed to even comment on that thing. So if you could, please make sure the attachments are downloadable prior to my getting into the meeting here. The past ones, past meetings, I can download every one of them, all right? But it's too late. So just housekeeping, if you can ensure that practice, it would help us out, okay?
Was this the first time that you couldn't download it?
No,
you said
November,
past ones you could?
The past meeting I mentioned it too.
Okay.
In November? I couldn't download them in November either.
We'll take care of it.
Okay. Dr. Stratton said they're going to take care of it. They're aware
of
it.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. Now, with regard to my public, here's my public comment now, okay? If somebody could just give me the time. Okay, this is with regard to OCFA, EMS services. Various OCFA cities believe they have the opportunity to leave the OCFA in 2018 by the JPA agreement. They have only one opportunity, 2018, or else they're locked in for another 10 years, okay, with the OCFA. They're now finding out they can save millions of dollars each year by getting out of the OCFA and going with a new model, all right? The next thing relates to this one letter. When I do an informal survey of the public, I ask them what agency or city pays every executive in the management scheme over $300,000 and the average worker $235,000. Every single person responds to me, oh, that's the city of Bell. I'm not kidding you. Every single person says that's the city of Bell. It's the OCFA, all right? That letter here has gotten a lot of traction, all right? With city councils, and especially in South Orange County. And here's what the question comes around. Cities now are looking into alternate models. Villa Park, okay? They have no fire station. they're thinking of going with City of Orange Fire Department on a, you know, a separate contract, all right? And then have private paramedic service provider, like an ambulance company, do the EMS work for them at way reduced costs than the OCFA. That's one example. Second example is South Orange County cities. Six cities banding together to form a separate JPA. Fire suppression, they go with CAL FIRE. CAL FIRE supplied the fire services before the OCFA. So they just go to CAL FIRE, fire stations are already there, and then they do their EMS services with private paramedics, the ambulance companies. So the question is this, can Villa Park and can a separate JPA in South Orange County, if they fulfill the requirement of EMS policy 700 to get the commitment of support letter approved, I guess, by the healthcare agency, can they issue their own RFP for private paramedic services, or are they controlled by the Butte County case and forced to send that request to the healthcare agency for the healthcare agency to prepare an RFP and administer the RFP, and that's it? Or can they do it and submit that thing for the healthcare agency's approval and then issue the RFP? So that's the question. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other comments from the public? Any comments from the board? Okay. Well, I want to thank you, everyone, for your attendance here today. Our next meeting will be April 7th, 2017 at 9 a.m. here in this hearing room. And with nothing else, we'll go ahead and adjourn and have a great day.